Easy right there. That could be a sponsor. If someone wants to sponsor some drink, I'll sponsor your drink, man. It's got to be good, too, because if it sucks, I'm not going to want to do it, right? Welcome, everyone. It is now episode 3. We made it to a third episode without getting frustrated or tired enough to take me down. But I'm your host, Joshua Capellan, because this is the Joshua Capellan Show, just in case you didn't know. Probably seen the clips there. I'm glad it's getting some traction out there. I'm glad people who are watching it are watching it. Right now we just started, so I don't expect to see so much. I expect to see like a little bit of views, but let's continue on and probably we'll get up there, right? Spotify and Apple have my podcast on there. You might see two different ones because I changed the podcasting host from one to another one, because one kind of didn't give me enough, like it wouldn't let me upload unlimited pods, but like 3 hours a month, and I'm gonna be doing a lot more than 3 hours, so I had to change that. So you're probably gonna see two different the Joshua Capellan shows until the other one goes away, whenever like Apple and Spotify feel like it. But the one you really need to go to, it shows me with like my face and it's like all brownish, not the one with like the red and everything on it. It's kind of the one with the brown. So that's the official one, right? So yeah. So other than that, I probably tell you guys about the Patreon, right? The Patreon's still not up, but it's up. So it's not ready for videos to be on there yet because I'm still working on that issue that I talked about last episode where they're not letting me upload because they think I'm under an 18 plus creator, like creator settings, and they think I'm going to upload porn or something. So they're not letting me upload any videos, but once we get that situated, I'll upload the videos and I'll upload some exclusive content. I've already got something in mind that I can most likely put this weekend if everything goes good. So that would be a cool one. I'll talk about it more later on. I think I said it in the last episode. It's gonna be. I want to go full in depth on that East Coast West Coast battle that happened last weekend and a little bit of this week. So I'll get more into that later, right? Today, our topics, of course, where, you know, if this is your first time hearing, it's only been 3 episodes, so you're not really missing much yet. But it's we talk about wrestling, we talk about music, we talk about gaming. Those are the 3 main cores, and anything else I feel like talking about. That's why it's called my show, and it's not specifically to something, right? Majority is going to be wrestling. I think I've got the most topics in that. And that's going to be pretty much it for now. I might throw some more things, right? So there's not going to be much wrestling news today or wrestling topics. More of the topics are going to be in gaming today, which is going to be a little bit different than we did the last 2, right? And we might have 1 or 2 topics on music. I think one is and it's kind of like what I've been talking about, because not really much else going on in music. So that's the intro, guys. Please check out every place we're at. You know, I'm going to try to keep it Mondays and Thursdays that these get uploaded and these get available to view. Once the Patreon gets going, 6 o'clock Wednesdays is when the broadcast is going to be up on Patreon. It's always going to be there first. And, you know, I'll try to get them always Mondays and Thursdays in the mornings, right? So, you know, if you're at work or anything, you're listening and you can have a listening and come chill with us, right? So first topic we're going to get on, I'm going to jump into it right now. We're going to go into Monday Night Raw, right? We'll do a little review, and then as we go through the reviews, it's the same thing like always. I'm going to talk about my thoughts as we review down. I've got some notes. Of course, I have to take notes. That's kind of like, you know, that's kind of how I like get my topics, right? So Raw kind of opened with Logan Paul, right? And Logan Paul's still a pretty decent heel right now. He's going in. He's kind of just plugging his match with Jey Uso, promoting it, kind of talking, you know. Gunther does come out. And like I said, I've always said before, Gunther is a great promo. He's got very good delivery. And I think his promo about him taking it personal, that everything is personal to him right now because he lost to Jey Uso. I thought that was a really good promo. Him and Logan, they're both heels, so a little strange. But one of the things I do want to talk about as we're here is, what is Gunther? Is Gunther a heel or is Gunther a face? And that's kind of what I want to kind of see, because he'll do so much big heel things like choke out Pat McAfee and fight with Michael Cole, who are obviously babyface commentators. But then he'll come with things like this where he's got some honor in him, and as like he's kind of like an honorable heel, and he'll be acting like a face. And it gets a little later as well. They get into it when it's Gunther and Seth talking backstage, and he's kind of talking like a babyface. So they're doing that thing with Gunther that they don't, you don't really, he, whenever he's a heel, he's a heel. Whenever he's a face, he's a face. It's kind of like this, I'm the best, I'm this honorable ring general, you know, character. And it's like, some people, at times it works as a face, at times it works as a heel, and I don't hate it. I don't hate it at all. I think it's pretty decent. I think he does a good job at it. But it's like, depending who he's talking to, it portrays it as a face and it portrays it a heel. So the thing about that, you start getting these things that, like I've been saying the last two episodes, this audience is really strange this year, because they want to cheer the face, they want to cheer the heels, and they want to boo the baby faces. But because he's like in the middle of the line, he gets the same thing. He gets these reactions where it's half face, half heel. He gets more of a heelish reaction. So when he starts talking like a baby face, they don't know if they should cheer or not, because they're like, well, this guy was kind of a dick last week. So, right? So it's real hard to like decide what to do with Gunther, because Gunther is a respectable worker. He's very, very good in the ring, fantastic in the ring, one of the best in the business right now, and one of the business best of all time, honestly. But right now, we'll say right now, for now, the people are going to appreciate him more later on. But it's like, hey, you want to have, he's such a dominant heel that sometimes he comes down as a face and then defends his honor, right? So that's a little confusing to see what they're going to do with Gunther. I think they're going to turn him face along the lines, later along the lines, to see, because he's probably already beaten all the baby faces, right? I believe he's fought all the baby faces. So, and I think he has to be a face so he can fight all the heels. But who knows what they're going to do, because you know this crowd, bro. These marks in the crowd right now, they're just liking the heels. So if he turns babyface, they're gonna probably boo him. But that's what's happening right now. We don't know if Gunther is a heel or face, but tonight he was a face. So it was a good promo, and it sets up this potential Logan Paul and Gunther match that I don't think is happening, but it's good when they do things like this, because it gets the people like thinking that all right, maybe he can be the winner. It gets even the people that know it might not happen, there's a small slimmer of people that are like buying into this, right? So they'll be like, oh, maybe they'll do something. But that's my piece on Gunther, if he's a heel or face, right? The next match was a tag team match, it seems, and this show kind of felt like it was just filler. It just kind of seemed like it was just a filler show, because it's not really a go-home show, because is Saturday night's main event a go-home show? Like, I mean, a PLE? I think it's like a special, so it's like they're building something towards a special, but it felt like the show was very, very skippable, to be honest. If you didn't feel like you could have just skipped this show. So, but they had a tag match. It was Penta and AJ versus Finn and JD McDonagh. And all guys know how to work. All guys are very, very good in the ring. I don't know what they're doing here. I don't know if it was building towards a feud. I guess this was just to get Chad Gable involved, to put that feud over with him and Penta, which Chad Gable's the El Grande Americano gimmick right now, which is very fun. I like the gimmick. I think Chad, like I said, Chad Gable's very good. He's a great wrestler. So it's going to, they already have pretty exciting matches between them two. So it's going to be pretty fun watching like the feud go on, and I'm pretty sure they're going to get Rey Fénix involved somehow with this. But that's kind of what happened. So Finn Balor won. I'm more than positive Finn Balor won. I forgot a little bit, but it wasn't really a match that to remember. So yeah. As we continue on, like, right now they are doing the Money in the Bank matches, right? They're doing the Money in the Bank qualifiers, and they're doing all the triple threats. I guess this is always going to be the qualifying matches for Money in the Bank now. They're just going to just nonstop do triple threats. And it's funny because when they were doing the World Heavyweight Championship, the new one, they were putting qualifiers as triple threats. So I guess qualifiers are always going to be triple threats. They might do a like last chance battle royal like at the end for both the women and the men. But Raw's doing like the women right now. They had the first match was Kairi Sane. Well, no, not yet. The first match was Becky Lynch. I almost forgot sometimes. It was Becky Lynch, Roxanne Perez, and Natalia. So that's who I almost forgot. So the match was good. I think all three are very good. Even though Natalia barely on TV, Natalia's really good. Especially she's kind of a very, very big veteran. But they kind of got Roxanne over. They put her over so she can be in this match. Roxanne needs a little bit more of a wins because she's been losing a lot lately. So she does need those wins. Lyra Valkyria did show up. And, of course, triple threats have no disqualifications. So, these things could just happen. When I still believe no disqualifications in triple threats are stupid. But I guess what happened, she came up, she fought with Becky, and then that's kind of like how you got Becky out so that Roxanne could get the pin against Natalia. It was a good match. It's kind of crazy how... That's the alarm. So it's kind of crazy what's happening there, right? They are just putting everything triple threats, and they're kind of like... I guess right now, they have like small people, right? They have Alexa Bliss in there, and they have Roxanne Perez. So right now there's two like small girls there in that match, but then as we continue on, they're gonna throw someone else in there. So it was a good match, good triple threat match. Especially for a Raw, it was a good match. Austin Theory is getting cheered. That's my next thing in my notes, because right now the next match was Sheamus versus Grayson Waller. I do think they need to break Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. I don't see what you do with Grayson Waller. I think Austin Theory is getting over, and I think he's getting over from what I said in the first episode. I'm more than positive it's about time people want to see him grow. He's always had the look of a superstar. He's always had that look where it's good, but the thing is, Vince just kept pushing him too much and too fast. So that's why the crowd turned on him and the people just didn't want to see him on TV. Now that he's kind of like being unappreciated, everyone's kind of wanting it, right? And like I said, the crowd is being the marks right now where they're just like, hey, this guy deserves something. Let's cheer him even though he's a heel. So that's it. We have the crowd full of marks right now. And it gets a little frustrating watching it, but it is what it is. By the way, guys, sometimes I only have one ear on, so I like to like have this one on. But letting you know, I like to listen to some things with one ear, but which is funny. But Austin Theory does get cheered, and that can mean something. That can mean, hey, they can look at that and say, do they turn him babyface? I don't think. I think like people have been wanting him to join the Seth, Paul, and Braun Breaker gimmick, like the group. So maybe he'll be the Evolution, Revolution 2.0, fourth man, right? Or third man, because Paul Heyman's part of the men, right? So the match was the match. It's an average match. I'm not too much into Grayson Waller as a character right now. I think they need to separate. I think all him and Austin Theory needs to separate. And on top of that, Sheamus is always good. Sheamus just needs like some sort of plot or storyline right now. They're trying to get him to go for the Intercontinental title. They've been putting that over, so probably sometime, probably at WrestleMania, he's going to win the Intercontinental title. He'll probably take it off Dominic, or he'll take it off Rusev, which I think that's the direction they're going to go soon. We'll talk about that later, right? So Gunther and Seth now have their promo. Like I said earlier, it's a nice, intense promo. Both guys can talk. It's just Gunther's a face right now. So they're trying to say, hey, you might get Seth and Gunther probably at SummerSlam, which is, I think Seth is taking the title from someone at SummerSlam. Like, they're going to put the title back on Seth. It will give the story a little bit more better. Putting the title back on Seth on a whole different gimmick, it's not too bad. I feel like that title was made for Seth Rollins anyway. Like I said, I'm going to probably say this in every episode. I hate the design. I hate the design of that title. So if they give it to him, please, Seth, just be like, hey, listen, I think we need a new belt. And then just bring a better design belt and they'll get over. That belt's not getting... I told you, as long as that belt is still ugly, it's not going to get over. It's just not. But like I said, Gunther's going to do the babyface thing. I still don't believe he's going to be a complete babyface. I think they're just doing this now to make you think that he has a possibility of facing Logan Paul or Seth. It's kind of like that trick, because once Jey Uso wins, he's going to go back to being a heel again. He's not going to be a face. So, but the thing is, his babyface and heel turns aren't like like Big Show's, where it's just like switching back and forth. It's just like he's just the same guy, right? So he is that same guy. Yeah. Sorry for that. My alarm is off now. The next match was the second triple threat Money in the Bank qualifying match. And it's Kairi Sane, Zoe Stark, and Rhea Ripley. It's a lot to say about this match. There's going to be a lot to say. All right. Before we even get into the big headline of this match, I'm going to say they gave Kairi Sane the pirate gimmick again. I was really liking more the Kabuki Warrior gimmick. They put her on the pirate gimmick, and I don't like it. She is a great... She's really fun to watch. She's kind of like the... She's a small Japanese like wrestler, so you need at least like one of them like that. But Io Sky's there too. But she's got this kind of like very slim, scrappy style of wrestling that's like fun to watch. But I don't like the pirate gimmick. I'm not a huge fan of it. I think they should have kept it like Kabuki Warrior-ish, even if they... Because I believe last time we saw her, she was a heel. She was a face. I think she was a face. I'm pretty sure she was a face. But and it's kind of strange that they're... It doesn't seem like they're putting her with Io Sky again. So who knows? And are they bringing back the Kabuki Warriors? Is Asuka ready? Is Asuka ready for a comeback? Are they going to put them in a tag team, or is this going to be a feud? Because a good feud would be Io Sky versus Asuka, or Io Sky versus Kairi Sane, or Io Sky gets turned on by Asuka and Kairi Sane, and they have a match. I do think Io Sky should have a match with Asuka at SummerSlam. I think they should kind of start putting that program together. If they do, it'll be great. But I'm not too fond of Kairi Sane's pirate gimmick. That being said, I still think she's good in the ring. Fun to watch in the ring. So, for a small girl too. So, yeah. And Rhea Ripley comes out, and then Zoe Stark comes out. They start having the match. It's a good match. Everyone would think it's a safe match. But it's not a safe match, right? So Zoe Stark gets injured and her leg, once I seen what happened, I was like, oh my God, she's really hurt. That looked nasty. And at first I saw the kick and then I saw her go down. And then once I saw, I was like, oh, because this is why I first thought, I was like, oh, like, is the, you know, get into how some people can like make themselves, like make their limbs, like do things. I thought like, wow. Until my split second hit and I was like, oh man, she's really hurt. Cause she went down and I was like, she went down and I was like, did she get the kick? And then I saw her just fall down. And I was like, oh no. I rewind a little bit and I saw what happened and I was like, damn, she's hurt. So they come in and the referees are kind of stopping the match there. So then it's like, all right, this is serious. And Zoe Stark, you know, they start taking her back and she's limping back. And they start saying that, hey, this knee injury she had before, it's happening again. She's had a knee injury prior before. And that sucks right there, because one thing, you don't want to see anyone ever get hurt, and two, you don't want to see things like that, because it could potentially, things can happen because of things like that. Like, it prevents people from actually doing full work, or, you know, with WWE's releases right now, it's kind of scary. Hey, this person got injured, and you know how they are with it, people that get injured multiple times, but this is kind of scary, right? And the thing about it is, they did continue the match. I did think Zoe was probably supposed to take the fall. But, man, it's kind of nuts seeing it. Seeing every time these injuries happen, like, in real time, it's kind of nuts to see it. I do hope she's fine. Not fine, but I hope she gets better and a very, very good recovery, right? I hope, like, excuse me. I hope, like, when she gets treated, there's nothing permanent, right? Like, she should be fine. That's what I mean by fine. Like, I hope, like, it's not career-ending. I hope she's okay and that she can heal and that she'll be back and she'll be better, feel a lot better, be able to work, and who knows, because we saw what happened later on. They can use this injury return angle and kind of get Zoe Stark up. If she comes back from an injury, she'll be a very, very good babyface. So I'm hoping that she gets good, everything gets taken care of, she heals, hopefully is not a long heal as well injury. Man, it's crazy. And that's the thing about it. When people say, hey, these wrestlers are scripted, like, yeah, the storylines are scripted, but the things that happen in the ring are real. Things like that can happen. Injuries can happen. And that's the thing we got to respect about these pro wrestlers, that no matter what, they're out there working, and they're working hard, and these things could happen. So, I do hope Zoe Stark gets a speedy recovery, as speedy as it can be, for her to safely return, and she gets a new run, gets a good babyface run after. But man, that was wild, and prayers to her, and make sure she's okay after all of this. Kairi Sane and Rhea become the match. It's just a 1-on-1. It was a good match, fun match to watch, but Rhea was not going to lose. I did not one bit see Kairi Sane taking out Rhea, and I also did not – that's probably what happened as well after, like the thoughts of who would be the winner is after that injury, because who knows what this could have been right? This could have been, hey, Zoe Stark. I do think Zoe Stark was going to take the pinfall sometime around this match, and probably Kairi Sane comes and wins, but you don't pin Rhea. You just don't. Because it probably was going to do Money in the Bank with Rhea and Io, because they got to have that match soon, right? They're not having a main event, and she's like, Rhea's like next in line for that. So it's weird because I don't know if they pivoted. Did they pivot and say, hey, we're just going to have Rhea win this match because we can't have her get pinned, especially ahead of Money in the Bank? And that's the predicament you have. And on top of that, Zoe Stark could have beaten Kairi Sane. I don't know if Rhea was supposed to win. Now that I think about it, was Rhea really supposed to win this match? Because now they might have to do a lot of changes. I can see Zoe Stark winning the match and putting her Money in the Bank. I mean, she does very well in those matches. So very exciting in those matches too. So now that I think about it, maybe Zoe Stark was supposed to win that match. But anyhow, Rhea does win. So Rhea is a main event star. Is in the Money in the Bank. And I've always thought Money in the Bank was mainly more for the up-and-comers. But does she win Money in the Bank? Do you put the Money in the Bank on Rhea? They might want to give it to her to give her part of the accolade. And she faces Io Sky. But that... We'll see more as the card for Money in the Bank gets more full, and we'll make our predictions. But there's still three more people in there. So right now it is Rhea Ripley, Alexa Bliss, and Roxanne Perez. For Money in the Bank. So let's see what happens there. Rusev's still great at his promos. I really enjoyed that Rusev promo. Those video packages. I love them. I love them a lot. Rusev is real over with me right now. I think I've already said it there's a clip called Rusev in WWE. I've already said it. Rusev is over with me. And he's going to fight Tozawa next week. And then well, really cool. He's like, I'm going to, I appreciate everything you do, but I'm going to like destroy you and then forget you exist. I thought that was pretty cool. So, he's really good. Rusev needs to be pushed to the moon. Another big angle, Roxanne is trying to join the Judgment Day. And the Judgment Day is like in this mix of very wacky, but they're like the thugs of the show. So, Finn and Dom's feud have been kind of broiling up, right? And Finn brings Roxanne Perez to into the clubhouse they have, right? And then they're just like, hey, Liv Morgan's not here, so what do you got? Well, why is she part of the Judgment Day and Liv is here and everything? And Finn Balor gave a pretty good point. He said, listen, we've got four guys and two women, and it's only Roxanne and Liv, so a third woman in the group will be pretty good. So I think that's a great direction, because they're gonna have probably Roxanne keep costing everyone else and helping them win. And I think that two women power trip in the Judgment Day is gonna spark some interest back in the group. I do like all the members. So all the members have progressed to be great characters. Carlito's my favorite one. Carlito's just too funny. I like when she came and gave the gifts. She gave chicken nuggets to Dominic, but my favorite part was when she gave like the apple to the apple to Carlito. I think that was funny. And then Raquel smacks it off her. And of course, Raquel's going to be like, hey, I don't trust her. Liv is her best friend. La, la, la. So let's see how that goes. I'm very interested in that feud. I'm very interested in, like, what's going on. Like, this kind of threw another dynamic into the Judgment Day where it's like, okay, let's see what happens. Are they going to have a split in the Judgment Day where it's Raquel, Liv, and Dom versus probably JD, Finn, and Roxanne? Let's see what happens, because I'm very intrigued, because it can go a lot of ways, right? And I do like that they're giving Roxanne Perez, like, a plot now. Like, she's got a direction. So I really enjoyed that. And good work. Good work. Whoever's booking that, good work, right? This was a short Raw. I thought this Raw was a lot shorter than usual. I think it was like 20 or 30 minutes less. We're already at the main event, right? So everything I've said is what Raw was, and probably the big highlights of Raw. We're already at the main event. Paul Heyman and his group pretty much are feuding with Jey Uso on top of CM Punk and on top of Sami Zayn. So it's now 3 versus 2, yeah, essentially, right? Paul Heyman brings out Bron Breakker to fight Jey, and Jey Uso and Paul Heyman are having a match. Not Paul Heyman. So Jey Uso and Bron Breakker are having a match. That would be crazy if him and Paul Heyman are having a match. And it will Paul Heyman works. So Paul Heyman's trying to cost Jey Uso throughout the entire match. This is like their third match, Jey Uso and Bron Breakker, and they're very good. Bron Breakker's one of the best upcoming in the business, and he's got the best spear in the business, and like he's a prodigy, right? Let's see what happens with Bron Breakker, because he can go to the moon unless, hopefully, you know, around that time, that's when some stupid allegations come out for wrestlers. So hopefully everybody's fine and he just gets pushes to the moon, right? So they have a good match. It's back and forth. Jey Uso seems to be improving in the ring. I'm starting to enjoy him more as a world champion now. I actually enjoy him as a world champion more than Gunther. And I think it's because right now the world title probably needs a babyface. And that's what it's kind of had, like, it's had babyface Seth, it's had heel to babyface Damian Priest, it had heel and face Gunther. Now it's just one specific face that people can cheer for. So you want, and then he's over with the crowd. No matter what you guys say, he's over with the crowd. The crowd, he is over like Rover, bro. He's over with the crowd. So of course, this match was going to end in a DQ. Not one person in their right mind believed this would be a clean finish. Not one person. Everyone knew it was going to be a DQ. Seth comes out and attacks Jey, and that's what pretty much was. It was just a setup to fight. The baby faces of Sami Zayn and CM Punk come out. They fight off the heels, and that's the program, right? I'm kind of surprised the pop CM Punk got. CM Punk got a huge pop from the crowd. And I guess the WrestleMania crowd are going, and it's probably less marks now. Maybe. I still think they're in the crowd. But they got a pretty big pop. And Saturday Night Events, that match is going to be fun to watch. I don't think it's going to be a bad match. But to this episode of Raw felt very fillerish. It felt like a filler. So that's it. That's all that happened. And then Logan Paul comes later and attacks Jey Uso. So they put over that program a little bit more. So that's it. That's what happened on Raw. Nothing really much else. There's not really much of wrestling talk is going to happen this episode. Ain't really much happening until probably Saturday Night Main Event, which is going to be this weekend, and I will review it. So stay tuned for that. I'll review the I don't know if it's a PLE, the special, but I'll be reviewing it, and we'll see what happens from there. To end it off, I still do think the world title should look a lot better. And that's the episode of Raw. So that's the wrestling take. 36 minutes is not bad. 36 minutes is good. Hopefully this episode is going to be probably over an hour. I don't think it's going to be 2 hours, right? But we'll continue on there. So now, Now I'm going to talk about music. And when it comes to music, in our segment for music, there's something very big going on right now. It turned small, then it got bigger, and we've been covering it a little bit the last few episodes, which is the last two episodes. It went from a Joey Badass calling out Kendrick Lamar, and then it went from Rayvon calling out Joey, and then Daylight came and also attacked Joey, and then Reason came for some reason, came and then attacked Joey. And Joey Badass has just been smacking the West Coast back and forth, bro. It's been smacking the West Coast back and forth. You know what? Hold on. We're going to change something for the segment, bro. We're going to change something for the segment. I'm going to be right back. We gotta put New York on, right? We're gonna put New York on our heads. You can probably see, you probably can't. We're gonna put New York on our heads right now. Cause I'm gonna be biased as fuck. Listen, bro. East is up. East is up. East is up right now. So, right now, and the battle's probably still going on. Right now, we got Joey Badass is fighting the entire West Coast, bro. The mid-tier West Coast, are they battlers? Nah. The mid-tier West Coast artists are attacking Joey. Joey was kind of a little bit lower, but now Joey's stock has shot through the fucking roof, bro. Joey's stock has shot through the roof, bro. Listen, listen. We'll talk about the battle right now, but Patreon looks like we're gonna have an in-depth with music and we'll react to everything. But as for this episode, we're gonna just talk about the battle. So, in case you've been living under a rock or you don't listen to hip-hop at all, Joey Badass called out the West Coast earlier this year. He called out the dick licking that the West Coast been doing on Kendrick Lamar. And then he called out everybody who's dick licking the West Coast. Shout out to the West Coast. I love West Coast music. I think everybody in there, everybody involved is very, very talented, which is why we're talking about it, right? But Rayvon, which is kind of like he's signed with TDE, but he's an up and comer right now. Like he's been ever since the Pop Out show, he's been getting a lot more noticed around. So he decides, hey, you called the West Coast out. I'm trying to get my name out there. I want to tumble. So Crash Out was a song he made, and he dissed Joey. And then so we talked about in episode one of my broadcast of my show that freestyle between Absol, Big Sean, and Joey Badass, and how Big Sean got controlled once again, because Joey just sent shots at everyone who sent shots at him. At the time is mainly Daylight, and at the time is mainly Rayvon, and he sent some subtle shots. Rayvon took a peek to that. Rayvon dropped Whole Era. Whole Era was a good song, bro. I like Whole Era. I listened to it a couple times and it's good. I just hate the chorus. I hate the hook, the okay, what's up? Shut up. I hate that part. But everything else is good. So if he wants to like release that song later on, please take out that hook and leave that get active part. I think that get active, stop acting should have been the hook. I do think it's a very, very good diss. I think it's a very, very good record. So, it's a great record. But then Joey just smacks back with the finals, bro. The finals is just some, it's just some shit, bro. It just, the thing is with the finals, so the other one, Ray Vaughn's whole era song, it sounds like a Not Like Us team, a team will not like us. And that's a big mistake when you're trying to establish yourself, because most people are looking like, hey, you're trying to take, all these West Coast motherfuckers are trying to take the Kendrick Lamar formula. And I think the Kendrick Lamar formula only works for Kendrick Lamar. When Game was dissing people, and Game was dissing, and I even, of course, nobody knows that I said this, but I still think Game versus Rick Ross, Game had the best lyrical slaughter of that entire year. Like, yeah, the Drake and Kendrick thing that went back and forth, I think it was a, it was definitely a big moment for hip hop. I think, It has to happen. It was good. It was very good. It was very fun, very intriguing, very engaging. But during that battle, Game slaughtered Rick Ross, bro. So bad that Rick Ross was like, I don't want to get in the ring. And he didn't use that same style that Kendrick's made for Not Like Us, which Not Like Us is a great record. It's a great record. But I don't think anybody else should be trying to establish that sound for themselves, because it's not a sound for everybody. I think it's a very unique person who can do that sound very well. Ray Vaughn did very good on it, but it just kind of sets you up for Joey to just pick you apart and say, hey, look, your song sounds too much like a Kendrick dick riding song. It does. It does a lot of things. I feel like the West Coast is more defending Kendrick Lamar in their disses than actually dissing Joey Badass. And that's the thing, right? I think if you really look at it, Kendrick Lamar has been referenced in every diss song that has dropped. And that is because Joey Badass wants Kendrick Lamar, which is fine. He's allowed to throw those shots. But then you have the West Coast homies are just like, yo, we want to defend Kendrick and also jump you and also ref for the West Coast. That's fine. But it's a problem when Joey is smacking every single one of y'all. Listen, bro, the finals should have, I already thought the finals went really hard at Ray Vaughn. Like, Ray Vaughn still has some fight in him. But there's a lot of problems in this East and West Coast friendly East and West Coast rap battles beef. I'm not going to say beef because it's not really huge, real beef. Everyone respects each other. So it's kind of a battle. I'm going to say battle instead of beef. Beef is when they really don't like each other. A battle is when, you know, it's can be either one. So it's East versus West. And I'm saying East versus West because more people have jumped in. What it was first was the West Coast jumping Joey, and Joey still punched them back. But then East Coast people decided to kind of jump in. You had Kai Cash, you had J1, you had a couple people jump in. And we'll get to one that I was really impressed with. But people are jumping in later already when he's doing the 3v1 already. So they jumped in because he was getting jumped. But the thing is, Joey still held his own. The finals smacked the hell out of Ray Vaughn, bro. That was already good from there. Ray Vaughn and Daylight did shoot back. Ray Vaughn made he made Goldeneye, which was is a lot of Diddy references. And I think that's the thing West Coast can only say about New York right now is just, hey, you're one of your kings is New York. Your former king of New York moguls is going through a trial right now, and he's a freak boy, and you were probably there. That's like their angle, and that's the thing. People, when people can't find any dirt on you, you have to come up with an angle, and even if it's if it seems like a lie, but it's like, hey, paint the narrative, right? That's the number one thing that happens, is painting a narrative. And then the thing is, you have to know how to get out of the narrative. So, and now we're going to talk about how the narratives don't work against the East Coast right now, because GoldenEye was a lot of bars, a lot of Diddy playing bars on Joey Badass, because Joey's got videos with Diddy, not bad videos, just Diddy hanging out with Diddy. It was good. Once again, it's good. Ravon is very well. He's very well in lyricism. Very good. But one thing you can't do is have Diddy bars and then later on your man's gets found with an old video of him saying he wants to fuck Diddy, bro. You can't do that. That's impossible, bro. You shouldn't do that. That's how you lose. So they're trying to say Joey Badass is the allegations that Joey was in the free calls with Diddy, even though Joey already said he was at the Diddy parties, but never in the free calls in the cipher. So he already kind of addressed it, and they kind of try to take that angle, and like he's handling that angle very well. So then he drops My Town. Joey drops My Town, right? Because Daylight dropped a song, and it's called I don't know, I forgot what it's called. It's just a whole bunch of like letters and numbers and everything. It's just a bunch of letters, right? And with that being dropped, then the town, My Town, came out. It's Joey Badass's This My Town. And like I said, I already thought the finals took care of Ravon. And then Ravon kind of fought back, right? My Town was just another level, bro. My Town was a whole nother level, bro. So the Daylight song, actually, I found it was WRD2MIMBA. What do you to me, Mevva? I don't know what the hell. So I thought Daylight raps very, very well. I thought Daylight's delivery is very good, but it's not a song that will stick. Joey's The Finals is a song that kind of stuck for a bit. And then when My Town came out, that shit was crazy, bro. My Town, first of all, My Town smacked the shit out of Ravon, bro. And it smacked the shit out of Daylight. Joey gets Loaded Lux on the track, bro. And it's crazy because he doesn't even put it featuring Loaded Lux. You just hear him pop up, bro. Now, if you guys don't know, Daylight seems like he's been ducking a Loaded Lux battle for a while. And if you're not really into battle rap culture, it does feel like he has been ducking a Loaded Lux battle. So the crazy thing is to have Loaded Lux just pop up and just start frying Daylight up, bro. Just frying him, bro. That was crazy. And that one got some. That battle rap stock has shot through the roof right now, especially when it's involving actual battle rappers. Shit is freaking skyrocketing to the roof right now. And it's amazing. I think it's fantastic. Fantastic what these artists are getting so much recognition right now. Like I said, shout out to the West Coast. I like Ravon. I like Daylight. I like all the other guys that jumped in. I didn't really... AZ Sheik, I think his name is. I didn't really listen to the verse because I don't listen to like the new West Coast music right now. I like the old Snoop, Dre, Eazy-E, Bone Thugs and Harmony, that type of West Coast game. I like that type of West Coast. The new West Coast is just not for me right now. Maybe I'll get into it later, but it's not for me right now. And I do believe that Daylight is incredibly talented, but that My Town, when it came out, bro, that shit was shutting it down, bro. That shit was shutting shit up. So then Daylight gets back and Daylight shoots. He shoots at both Joey and Loaded Lux. He has some witty lines, bro. And I'm telling you, this weekend on the Patreon, we're gonna go step by step on this battle. I want all the lyrics to like be on like Rap Genius or something, so we can go with the lyrics. We're gonna go more in depth in this battle. I just don't think it should be for the show. I think this should be a Patreon exclusive. And hopefully Patreon's up so we can go a lot more deeper into just what this battle is. We're going to listen to all the songs. We're going to listen to everything. I can't play the songs because I load this on YouTube and one of those might get copyrighted. So Daylight shoots back, bro. He shoots back. Word is Bond, I believe, is the name of that track. And then, my God. Then, like, the bomb gets thrown. And this is the one I think just shuts. The West Coast can't come back right now unless they throw Kendrick Lamar in. Crash Out Dummy is something, bro. Crash Out Dummy samples Tupac's Hit 'Em Up. I love beats that use that Get Money flip. Get money. Like, I love when they use that flip, bro. That's why... when the leaked version of Push Ups came out, I loved it too because it's the better version of the song. And on top of that, that flip was crazy. That flip is crazy. I always like the Get Money flip. That Crash Out shit is crazy, and I think Ray Vaughn's done after this. I think that, well, not as a musician. I think in this battle, I think that Crash Out track just cleared Ray Vaughn out of here. It's over. There's a lot to be said in that song. And he threw a lot of shots at Kendrick. Kendrick's on tour right now, so I wouldn't put... Right now he's on tour with SZA. They're on a stadium tour, so I don't think he should be responding yet. I think right now Joey clear out the West Coast so that they have no other choice but to bring out Kendrick. That's it. Honestly, I think the entire East Coast should jump out when Kendrick come out, just like the entire West Coast jumped out when Joey came out. Give Kendrick a 20-v-1. Solidify him as, if he wins out of that, he's the greatest of all time, bro. But I want to see this battle between Joey and Kendrick. I am now more interested now. I think Kendrick should finish his tour first. I don't think he should be jumping into a battle or jump... I don't think he should be jumping in the battle after tour. I think Drake did that, and that was a big mistake. Kendrick's a little bit more calculated when it comes to these things, so I do want to see the battle between Joey and Kendrick now. I think Crash Out Dummy has sent everybody else out of here. A couple more East Coast and West Coast people, they did put out tracks. I think... Joey just cleared out Ray Vaughn, which Ray Vaughn was getting a lot of hype, so it's good that he came. You know, he was kind of coming up, and then he got sunned. And Daylight's just one of the legendary battle rappers, so I hope that Loaded Lux and Daylight shit happens now. I think Joey is done. I think Joey is done. And Daylight after did drop a phenomenal song about a tribute to Captain Steez. I thought that song was phenomenal. At first, I thought it was going to be a low blow. I thought it was going to be a crazy low blow. And I was like, this is fucked up. But, it wasn't. It was just a tribute. So, unless some shit comes out in a few seconds and during this. And then, But I do think this East Coast and West Coast battle was very fun. Catch it on Patreon. We're going to go more in deep with those songs, lyrics, and everything. I don't know if I'm going to attack the other guys that jumped in. I think I'm going to keep it to just the main four guys. Maybe we'll go into the other ones. But it's going to be a fun Patreon episode. So wait for that. We'll check it out. We'll do East Coast, West Coast. Might do a live. Maybe we'll do a live stream. Nah, I don't think so. I don't think we're ready for that yet. So that's kind of it in music right now. Most music come out on Friday, so a lot of the music takes are going to be on the Monday episodes. So that's it for music. We're going to jump into gaming. I think there's a lot more gaming topics. So when it comes to gaming, we have a couple things, right? First, I just announced this too. Stellar Blade 2 is coming out. So if you guys are big fans of Stellar Blade, they've confirmed there's a second part. I have played the game. I've not beaten it. I've played a little bit of it. I think it was pretty fun. But I have not beaten it. But I have a couple topics for gaming. There's four kind of big ones. There's three bigger ones and like one that's just there. First, we're going to get into is the next Xbox going to be a PC? So right now it's seeming like the console wars is coming to an end with all the Xbox games coming to PS5, some of them coming to Nintendo. It just seems like Xbox is just not caring about having exclusives anymore. I think at this time you don't need exclusives anymore. I think the gaming industry is coming together where you can have two major consoles right now, like PlayStation and Nintendo. Because the thing is, Nintendo has its own niche audience with like the first parties. And then PlayStation and Xbox are kind of like, hey, this is everything else. And with a lot of third-party games. And Xbox doesn't really have that much first-party games to strive on. I know you have like the Bethesda games. But I think putting the console, making games for the console is not needed. I think everybody's kind of liking Game Pass. Game Pass has just like taken over Xbox's intrigue. It's like, hey, I have my Xbox. I have all three. I have an Xbox, I have a Switch, I have a PS5. I like my Xbox for its Game Pass. I don't think I want to ever buy a game. I just play everything that's on Game Pass. So because Game Pass is a subscription, put Game Pass on the other consoles already. I think Game Pass should be like a subscription and make a lot of money. But the thing is, the developer, they should just become developers, kind of like what Sega did. Just get out of the console war and just kind of develop software. The only thing is that what do you do now, right? Because honestly, it doesn't look like there's going to be another Xbox, but there might be. Like I said earlier, I think you make an Xbox PC. I think that's what you do next. You make a PC that is Microsoft branded, because all these other PCs, I don't believe they're Microsoft branded PCs. I don't think there is a Microsoft branded PC. I think they're just Microsoft, just the operating system. But Microsoft can make their own PC, and it can be, I mean, they have laptops, of course. They probably have like PCs, maybe not. But I do think that at this point, you have Xbox run Windows, which is the rumor right now, too, that Xbox, the next Xbox coming out is going to be with Windows. And just make it a PC. Have a PC with Game Pass on it, which all PCs do. But like, just develop a PC. And, well, a high-end PC that can play games. But then again, it makes no sense because you can just buy a PC. So, like, I don't know what you do with the console wars. I don't know what you do with the console wars right now. Because that is a rumor that Xbox, that the next Xbox is going to probably be a PC. And like, you can just buy a PC, but then again, there's a new Xbox. And I guess people were like, hey, I just want an Xbox PC. And they'll just grab an Xbox PC just because of it. Same reason people are grabbing the Switch 2. Hey, Switch 2, not that much games for it right now, but I just want to grab it because of Switch 2. So it might have the same effect. I talked about last episode that Summer Game Fest is coming and they're having an Xbox showcase. So we'll probably know what the next move for Xbox console is. But right now, I do have my Series X. I enjoy playing Game Pass. But if I had a nice PC, I can play it. But maybe not even needing to make it a PC, just make it Windows-based. Make an Xbox Windows-based, kind of around the same price range, right? Not too much. And make it Windows-based. So, yeah. I think that'd be a good direction for the Xbox. Just make the interface Windows-based, and maybe you can start playing Steam on it. Make it like a gaming PC with a controller or something and a mouse. I don't know. Just make it a better PC for its price range. There you go. That's kind of what I'm going for. And it'll be exclusively to Microsoft, so they can probably lower the price, you know, because they already have the Windows operating system and blah, 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 and all that. So, yeah, that's kind of a topic that's going around right now, that maybe the next Xbox is going to be Windows-based, PC-based. So that's one thing. Next topic I want to talk about is, so there's things going around that there's a second state in GTA 6, right? So they realized that if you go to this website, Gloriana, visit Gloriana.com, it takes you straight into the Rockstar website. Now, if you haven't heard and you're asking, what is Gloriana? Gloriana seems to be the second state area in GTA 6. Right now, they have Leonardo, which is Florida. And Leonardo, exactly, Leonardo's Florida. So Gloriana is probably Georgia. So that's, I like that a lot. I think that would be fantastic if they put in a second state. If you remember on Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, we had Las Venturas, which is Las Vegas. So you had two states already. You had California, which is like Los Santos, and I don't know what was the state of California. Los Santos is like Los Angeles, but what was the name of the full state of GTA? Huh? I don't know. But I kind of forgot. But then in San Andreas, I think it's just San Andreas is the whole name of California over there. But then next to San Andreas, in San Andreas game, you had Las Venturas, which is Nevada. So I do think that would be a great idea. I guess you put it in Georgia, you put Atlanta, and just like the Georgia, like, nature and everything. Let's see what happens, right? I'm very excited. I really hope they do more than one state. I think that would expand. If they do three states, now that's crazy. And I do believe that they're going that route. I do believe there's a third state. Gloriana does seem, especially if you do put in that website, visit Gloriana.com, and it goes straight to the Rockstar. That means they probably have a Rockstar website. That means they probably have a domain. And yeah, it looks like a blast. Now, the thing is, people started seeing this in when they were analyzing the trailer, they went as deep as analyzing the license plates on the cars. And they started seeing different states on the cars. So on license plates. So that's why how it all started spiraling into Gloriana. And how this second state is probably existing. So let's see what happens, man. It could be also Rockstar trolling, which would be a lot funnier. It's just like, hey, Gloriana never happens, which is most likely could happen. But that's what's happening there. Gloriana as a state in GTA 6 would be awesome. All right, moving on. Tomb Raider is getting a show on Amazon. That's it. That's the news. I guess they had a Tomb Raider movie that flopped, and they're gonna put Tomb Raider show on Amazon. And I don't know if that's gonna flop or if it will or not, because it is on Amazon. So people, you know, if I'm bored and there's nothing on Amazon, I'll put on Tomb Raider in the background and it might be good. I'm not going to watch Tomb Raider in the theaters unless the main character looks like the actual person in Tomb Raider. When Angelina Jolie was Tomb Raider, was a Lara Croft. I keep saying Tomb Raider. When Angelina Jolie was Lara Croft, it kind of looked like Lara Croft. She had that Lara Croft type of demeanor. The other lady in the movie of the latest Tomb Raider didn't feel like Lara Croft. And on top of that, when there's already a game series with Lara Croft and Tomb Raider, I guess she didn't look like the woman in that game, either new in the rebooted newer Tomb Raider. So it kind of felt weird. So if they make this Tomb Raider more close to the video games, like the actual the characters look, and that matters, man. That matters. Like, I don't care what y'all say. Hey, actors are actors, but that matters. If they don't look or feel like none of the video game characters, then I don't see how that can work. I don't see how like if you watch The Last of Us, what's his name? Bella Ramsey gets like slaughtered on the internet because she doesn't look like Ellie. And I think that was a grave mistake. Ellie should have looked like Ellie. So I don't like when people don't look or seem or feel like the characters that we know, like the source material, right? The source material, you want it to look more like the source material. I'm going to put this down a little bit. You want it to look more like the source material and feel like the source material. So if Lara Croft doesn't feel like the source material, then it's going to be a flop. Even if we have it in the background, I'm not going to really watch it unless it's really good. And unless the characters look like that. And that's something like they do a lot with video game characters that turn into movies. That you know, are in movies. They always tone them down. Disney does it a lot with all their live actions. And that is a whole nother talk. That's a whole nother talk. We'll probably get into that talk. Let's still speak on Lara Croft and Tomb Raider on Amazon, because let's see what happens. It can be good. It can be bad. I mean, Angelina Jolie, probably the better Tomb Raider still out of the two that we've seen. So maybe the third one will be good. The third iteration, third reboot, and it's a show this time. So has more story they can tell. Remember when they did Uncharted and Nathan Drake look nothing like Nathan Drake, and Sully looked nothing like Sully. And they had Mark Wahlberg and Spider-Man, which Mark Wahlberg should have been Nathan Drake. And that's the thing about these studios taking these video game IPs and turning them to shows. Sometimes they don't know who they just don't know. They don't know the show. They don't know. I mean, they don't know the game. They never played it. They just make a show out of it. At least like Fallout was fantastic. I thought Fallout was very good. It seemed like Bethesda was very involved, and it's a fantastic show, and it's on Prime too. And I think that's what they're trying to do with Lara Croft now. They're trying to like, hey, if Fallout worked, we can probably get everything else to work. But we'll see what happens, right? And I'm really excited for Fallout. I know they're going to be season 2. They probably announced it at the Summer Game Fest, but for a Tomb Raider show, I'm not too excited. I'll probably give a glimpse to one episode and see what it is. I'll give you guys one episode or two, and then I'll talk about it. So when that comes out, we'll give it a talk, right? Anywho, there's another topic on this, but I want to add a topic. And because why not? Let's talk about it now. Disney live action movies are becoming more of a joke. So I keep saying from these things that every time they do something that removes away from the source material, that I hate it so much, right? I hate that. I hate it. I hate when they go away from the source material on either the look of the character, the feel of the characters involved in the movie, or any of the plot that has changed. right now, Lilo and Stitch came out on live action. It's coming out, or it came out, or coming out. I'm not gonna watch it, like, especially in theaters. Maybe I can watch it on Disney Plus or something. I don't have Disney Plus, but maybe I'll do a free trial. They're always giving out free trials. And the thing is that they took out one of the main characters of the movie, and it's what's his name? What does the shark looking dude, bro? I love Lilo and Stitch. I thought that was a great movie. Not the live action. I'm talking about the real one. The songs in that movie is fantastic. That's when Disney was going in. But these live actions are kind of changing things, bro. They keep taking out characters. They keep changing characters. They're like not sticking to source material. And I hate when people do that. I hate when studios do that. They don't stick to the source material. If they're making a remake of something, it's mainly because, especially if it's a live action remake, just stick to the source material. It's not that hard. And that's the thing about Disney. Disney is just on this super, they're very into their, the woke. I don't really like that word much, but they're trying to pander. It's a lot of pandering they've been doing. They're into this woke society that probably 20% of society is really into. The other 80% doesn't care. Because the other 80%, we really just want the original animation. And what's kind of crazy about Disney is that Disney just refuses to animate anymore. Listen, we've got animes out. Animation's still making money. Animation is still up there, bro. I think Disney just threw out everyone who can draw. Because nobody, like, yeah, they make some of these Minion type Pixar movies, and that's fine because Pixar has always done that. But for what happened to Disney animations? What happened to Disney being the most top tier animators in the world? Why don't they have new original animation movies? Why don't we have new movies? New original ideas for movies? Disney's kind of like, they're kind of like leaning on Marvel and these live actions that suck. Like, what is going on with Disney? They're making a lot of money. They make a lot of money from their parks, from their merch, from all these things. They're fucking Disney, right? But they got a lot lazier as content makers. We have, yes, they're relying on Star Wars a lot too. And I think Star Wars is kind of carrying Disney, but Star Wars is carrying Star Wars, and Disney just happens to own it. So Disney is getting money. But as far as a Disney product made by Disney, who's carrying it, bro? The only thing carrying it, honestly, is because I'm a gamer, it's probably Kingdom Hearts. That's the only thing carrying the original Disney IPs. Live actions ain't doing it. I mean, live actions, are they making money? Maybe like Moana. That's it. Everything else, all Mufasa. But those type of live action movies, they're making money, but they aren't gaining respect. Like, there's a type of hate. I mean, I guess they're for kids, right? Kids are going to watch that Mufasa movie. But I think, like, I don't know why they're not making no more animated movies or shows or anything. Like, when I was a kid growing up watching Disney, like, we had, like, animated movies. And that's what got me over with Disney. That's what Disney got over with me. Was all its animations, the amazing, like, even the songs with the animation. It was very impressive. They made very impressive movies, which is why their animations were always up for Oscars and Golden Globes, because they were very good. some of the Disney movies, like the Pixar can still making its movies like that. Pixar hasn't really changed, even though they're also owned by Disney. They haven't really changed, but like Disney's relying on other IPs that they bought instead of like their own original ideas. And I think that is going to get scary later. People already kind of like toning off. Marvel isn't as hot as it used to be, especially not since like 2017, 2016, 2018. It's not as hot. It's not as hot as it used to be. People are not caring about the shows. They're not caring about the movies. They're saying, hey, this is good or bad, but they're not caring about this because the characters, they're either like, it's just not the same. So Marvel's kind of falling off. Star Wars is in and out, right? You have the dedicated, super hardcore Star Wars fans, but that's a double-edged sword because Star Wars fans has always been like, hey, we love what we love. Don't change it. And when they change things, then people are mad or people are just happy that they're getting Star Wars things. So what is going on with Disney, right? Disney needs to, they're going to see later on what's going to happen. Like, it's not happening now. It's going to happen later. They're going to see the content's not making money. You're going to hear layoffs and things going on at the Disney headquarters or something. But Marvel's going down by the minute. Star Wars is kind of keeping it afloat. The other ideas, Pixar is kind of doing what it's got to do. It's kind of like keeping it a little bit afloat. And then any other Disney properties going to the garbage. Especially all the live actions. So, Disney, come on, bro. Come on, bro. Do your thing. Come back. Like, stop being lazy. But who knows? They're making a lot more money than I do. So, that's my off-tangent topic. It wasn't on the notes. It was just like brought up now. So last thing I want to talk about is the industry and their $80 games. Because look, the $80 game era is already starting. It started already. Everyone thought it was just going to be like Nintendo. Nah, this already started. I see PlayStation games already starting. I see Xbox games going to Game Pass. Ha. Huh? So, but PlayStation games are already $80, most of them. Like, I think Ghost of Tsushima is $80. That hasn't come out yet. A lot of future games. And then, like, Mario Kart's $80. The new Switch game is going to be $80. Yeah, right now, games are going up. We used to have, I mean, like, when PlayStation 2 was coming out, we had them at $40 or $50, right? It's $39.99, $49.99. With everything going up right now, who knows what's going to happen, right? So, these $80 games, man. These $80 games. The thing is, it's going to save the people who are they're going to save, and it's going to kill the industry. But it's going to save the people who are going to be saved. So, here's what I think. Here's what I'm trying to say. Nintendo, people are always going to pay whatever for Nintendo. Doesn't matter. They're going to pay $80 for Nintendo games. Because Nintendo never goes down. Everyone kind of already knows Nintendo were sleazeballs when it came to their prices. They barely have any sales. The prices of games never go down. They are money-grubbing sleazeballs that make very good games. So, no matter what, people are paying $80 for Mario Kart. Anything else from like other companies, that's where it starts getting a little slippery. I'm not buying an $80 Assassin's Creed game. I'm not buying an $80, almost half the PlayStation. I don't know if I want Ghost of Tsushima, the second one, because it's gonna be $80 and I'm gonna buy it for $80, beat it and never play it again, which is going to be the problem. people are not going to want to buy things. They're going to want to they're going to probably want to stream the game. They're probably going to want subscriptions. And that's what it's going to turn into. I think this is a way for the industry to change. They're going to give you $80 games because they're going to give you $80 because distribution takes is costing a lot more money. And they're going to be like, hey, but we have Game Pass, but we have PlayStation Plus, PlayStation Essential, PlayStation Extra. Get all these and you don't have to pay $80. Nintendo might be trying to go the same route, but I don't think so. I think Nintendo is going to make the game only sell it. Like they already said, it's only going to be digital. Their physical games are just codes. Like, because $80 games are going to stay, Nintendo's going to give these, they're always going to stay $80. But I think like PlayStation and Xbox, they're going to be like, hey, jump to our streaming service and you can get the games from here and you don't have to pay $80. There is also a, like going into that there, I guess there's a tweet from like the owner, the head of Gearbox, the guys who make Borderlands 4, and they're just like, hey, the real fans are going to buy it. Bro, I'm not buying $80 Borderlands just to not play it again later. I'm not. I don't want it. I don't want to pay $80 for a game I know I'm not going to keep playing. I will pay $80 for a Nintendo game like Mario Kart, because Mario Kart doesn't really get old. You can always pop back in and out. It's not a story-based game, especially games that don't have multiplayers. That's the ones that are going to suffer. Games, $80, that only have a narrative, that are only a campaign mode, they're not gonna survive, bro. They're not. I'm not going to play Stellar Blade. I'm not going to pay $80 for Stellar Blade 2. I'm not going to do that. Sorry. And that's the things like that, like those type of games that are like very hyped, but they're $80. Like I don't know how good this game is. Mario Kart, yes. Smash Bros, yes. Like I play these games can be a little bit worth that much because they are games that you can come back to. They're family games. You can keep doing it. You keep playing it later on. They're online, and they're very fun games. GTA 6 can be whatever price is going to be. It's going to sell. People are saying it's probably going to be $100. It's going to be worth $100. Like, I think the cap GTA 6 could be worth is like $120, bro. Because people pay money for GTA anyway. You get the base game and pay $100 for whatever you're going to pay for. I don't, but there are people that do. So, I know no matter what, GTA 6 is going to sell, but things like, let's say another Tomb Raider game. No one's going to pay $80 for a Tomb Raider game. I can't see what other games could come out. People are going to pay $80. I think that's also going to hurt the gaming industry. But that's just what it is, man. I think on the PlayStation side, they're going to try to get people to go to the streaming sites. That's the streaming, like the streaming options. Same Game Pass is already that, so Game Pass is already Xbox. Nintendo's gonna say $80. They don't give a fuck. They're gonna be like, yo, here, $80. We'll go to 90. We'll go to 90 on the Switch 3. The swap. But yeah, $80 games is crazy, but this is where we're going to. That's why get the games however you get the games, man. And play the games however you play the games, man. But or just do a subscription. Get Game Pass. Game Pass is good. I like Game Pass a lot. Other than that, guys, that's the show. That's the talk. That's the show. That's episode 3. I'm glad we got some talks in. I can take this off now because I had the hat on because of, you know, I was talking about the rap battle. But, of course, if you made it this far, you already know. But anyway, that's it for now. Please be patient for the Patreon. It's going to be coming back. It's going to be starting up soon. The link is there if you want to join, but it's not ready for videos yet. So don't worry about it. If you don't catch us on YouTube, catch us on Apple, catch us on Spotify, catch us on, I think Amazon is going to be, there's a couple places we're going to, you can catch us on. So that's what's going to be it. Other than that, depending on the topics, we'll see you guys on Monday. Because this is coming out Thursday. So I'll see you guys Monday. Let's see what the craziness happens in the weekend. I hope everybody has a good day, a good weekend. And subscribe and like, man, if you haven't checked it out. I would really appreciate it. We want to grow. We want to get do more things for the channel. This is the first show of the channel, not the only one. So let's see what's happening, right? So thank you, guys. And thanks for listening. And this is episode 3. And I'll see you guys next time.